In the warmer temperatures, we use this mic on and off when the AC kicks in here. It's not, it's pretty loud in this room. It's louder when the movies are on. That's true. If you don't have a Bible, please feel free to take a moment to grab one. There's several in the bookshelf in the middle of the room. Feel free to ask someone to hand one to you if you like. If you are the type of person that you like to give Bibles away, we have Bibles that you can give away. So don't leave today without an extra Bible. All right? It's City Bible Church. We're in the heart of the city here, and we believe that God has revealed a lot to us through the Bible. So please feel free. We want to come back to John 15 today. John 15, it's page number 876 for me. If you're using Wi-Fi for your Bible, the password is Real Coffee, R-E-E-L, Coffee. It's a password for the Wi-Fi in the room. So John chapter 15, this is, I think, our first in that today is a part two message. I try to avoid that. I honestly don't know if I've ever done it before, but today is truly a part two message. So if you were not here last Sunday, you would probably enjoy. You can, on our website, cbcbaltimore.com, or on iTunes, you can, for free, listen to the messages from every week, and that certainly will help you. But we're wrapping up our series on relationships from Jesus' words in Matthew 22, when he was asked, what is the most important thing? And Jesus said, love God, right? With all you've got, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is equally important to it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so we've taken that as a text to talk about relationships, including things like relationships with your coworkers, which Chiquetta shared with us this morning. And we're kind of bringing that to a close and coming back to the words of Jesus, but finishing with the words of Jesus in John 15. So let's open with a word of prayer, ask God to help us. Learn as much as possible, open our spiritual eyes and learn from the Word this morning. God, I thank you that you are with us. I thank you for bringing everyone that's here in safely today and for their dedication to you. God, I ask that you would help each of us to understand these words that Jesus said that are even mysterious and that you'd help us to learn from them and to put them into action in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So let's read. I'm going to read. John records this for us. John 15, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 17. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I've given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends. Since I have told you everything the Father told me, you didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command. Love each other. We talked a little bit last week about this idea of abide, as most translations say, remain in me, abide in me. An easy kind of crossover idea for us instead of a grapevine is a Wi-Fi connection, right? I mean, most of us have a smartphone. Some of us pay less for a dumb phone, but we have a, whether it's your phone or a tablet or whatever, you're looking for an active connection, right? Want an active connection so I can be on the web, so I can do the things that I want to do, right? It's kind of, it's like the thing that everyone wants, an active connection. And that's really what Jesus is talking about here, an active connection with us. I remember kindergarten. Anyone remember kindergarten? Now, I've been hit in the head a few times, so I don't remember everything. But I do remember some from kindergarten. There was one game that we all wanted. You know, everyone wants something. There was one game in kindergarten that we all wanted to play. It was called Ants in the Pants. I don't know if anyone else here is my age and remembers this, but this was a, Ants in the Pants was a game with hard plastic farmer's breeches, pants that stood up with little suspenders, dark blue pants that stood up empty. Think Wallace and Gromit. And then there were these little plastic ants that had like a tab on the back of them that you could push down so they would spring up, and you'd try to jump these ants into the pants. And you have different colored ants, so you could have teams, you could have four people playing, whoever had the most of their color ants in the pants would win. And I don't know why, but in my kindergarten, that game was it. That was what everyone wanted. We all wanted to play. If you were going to get pushed down, it was going to be running to play Ants in the Pants. And an active connection is something that everyone wants. And whether we realize it or not, an active connection with God is what we're designed for. And it's something that we have a choice in. Jesus' words couldn't be more clear. He's not saying that he loses contact with us and that's how we as branches are severed. He doesn't say that, does he? He asks us to make a decision. Remain in me. We have a choice. Did you catch that? And when we have this relationship series and we're talking about Jesus' words, love God with all, and it's easy to kind of be excited by that on a Sunday morning, but over the course of the week, it's actually a little bit difficult. Anyone? Right? And it's also a little bit difficult to, at some point you get in the course of your week and you realize you're not thinking thoughts that mean you're connected with God at that moment, and so you don't want to go back to Him. You want to do other things so that you can feel better about yourself before you go back to Him. Am I the only one? Now, I love our children, Charlotte and Gideon, for many different reasons and in many different ways. I love them. And I love this season of our life because they so readily and quickly hop up into our laps and throw their arms around us and tell us that they love us. Our kids are never worried about whether or not I will reject them. They just run in. It's always assumed. They run in, and Charlotte's getting a little big now, so sometimes it's a little dangerous for her jumping in your lap, but she'll run in and jump up into my lap. And when I think about what would it be like with this analogy that Jesus is giving us, if Charlotte had realized that it had been a while since she had thought about me, it had been a while since she had acted like a mom, and it had been a while since she had been around me, thought about me, talked to me. And so she didn't feel good about herself, and so she chose to stay away. That would break my heart. You see what I'm saying? I want her to come to me. And Jesus described earthly parents in relationship to Heavenly Father. And he used these words, "If you who are evil can be good to your kids, how much more so God the Father?" And yet I've found you know, even this week, in moments where I realize that my thoughts, my emotions are not with him, that it is easier for me to get down on myself and not turn myself back to him freely, believing that he forgives, believing that he's there waiting for me, but instead to separate myself. Is this making any sense? But when I read the words of Jesus, and some of us in small group have talked about this kind of at length, about this idea of remaining in him, of constantly turning my attention back to him, of constantly turning my thoughts, turning my mind, turning my hearts back to him, and considering who he is, considering what he does, letting his love wash over me moment by moment. And when I find myself away from him, not coming to a place of condemnation, in other words, a bad emotion that takes me away from him, but instead quickly turning to him and saying, God, there I go again. There I go again on my own, you know, going down the only road. Right. There I go again. Right. With a real simple realization that without him, this is the way I always go. That God's a father better than I am a father, and more so than I would never want my kids to turn away from me because they feel bad about who they are. God does not want you to turn away from him because of what you feel or think. Is this helpful? It is God who loves us. It is God who loves us deeply. It is God who wants us constantly turning our attention back to him. That's what he wants. And so when I hear Jesus' words, and Jesus is asked, what's the most important thing in all of Scripture? And he says, love God with all. And love your neighbor as yourself. If I am to love God with all, I need to find myself, grab myself by the scruff of the neck and bring myself back to a place of turning my attention to him. Right? Now let's get into the text a little bit more. We spent a while breaking down Jesus' words here that John records last week. I want to actually get into this a little bit and ask you some questions. This today is going to be more active than ever before. You get to help me teach this. Are you ready? I hope you have engaged yourself. Hopefully your brain and your spirit is connected to your mouth this morning. Re-engage active connection. Let's start with this. What is Jesus' theme? Abide, remain. What's his theme? It's another way of saying it. Right. Stay. Stay in me. That's good. I heard another one. Okay. Stay in me. Rest. Yeah. That's not easy, is it? Rest in me. Stay in me. Rest in me. Embrace. Embrace what you're doing. Yeah. Yeah. Being whole. Being a whole person. In that moment with him. What do we see? Let's go to Jesus' words and let's answer some questions. What do you see are results of staying? There's some, he lists some very direct results. If you see one, tell me. He stays with you. Okay? So if I stay in him, a result is that he stays in me. So I don't need to be insecure and worried about him leaving. Hello? Is that relevant to anyone else? Because I really enjoyed it. I don't need to worry about that. Okay, so that was from verse 4. Remain in me and I will remain in you. Come on, Bible study. Let's get this working here. What are some other results? You will bear fruit. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. Verse 5. Okay, that's where we're getting that result. You will bear fruit. Now, that can mean a lot of different things, and he's often referring to his words, so we could refer to some of Jesus' own words about what some of that fruit might mean, but that's a really good one. How many of you would like to have a life that has results? Right? I mean, we know we shouldn't be results first, results oriented, but Jesus is saying, if you remain in me, you will bear fruit. And if it's Jesus, it must be good. Right? Okay, what else? What are some other results? You're connected, that's good. He will help you grow, right? That's exactly right, because you can't be producing fruit if there's not growth, right? I actually had someone ask me not that long ago, is growth really a biblical idea? Yeah. Yeah. And how many of you want to grow? I do. Right? Most women have given up on men ever growing. It's possible. Okay? All right. What are some other results? Let's see. Verse 7. If you remain in me and my words remain in me and you, you may ask for anything you want, it will be granted. Answered prayer. How many of you have some prayer requests you'd like to see answered? Okay, some of you are still breathing. Come on. Right. Answered prayer. That's a result. What else? You'll be, okay, what verse do you have that? Eight. You'll be true disciples. And it brings glory to God. If I'm an active follower of Jesus, that's a result of me remaining in him. Whoa. Epiphany. Paradigm shift. Enter change word here. Or like the M80s that are being lit in my neighborhood at 2 a.m. every night. Boom! That should change something for you. Being a true disciple is a result of remaining in him. Whoa. It's not a result of you acting like something, you trying to pretend to be something. Can we get real in here? Right? It's a result, and it brings glory to God. That's from verse 8. What other results do we have? Joy. Yes. My joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. Okay, well, time out. So are you trying to tell me, Jesus, that it's really as simple as if I will make an active, moment-by-moment decision to stay in you, my joy will be full? Well, it sounds really simple when you say it like that. It's in there. It's what he's saying. If I will turn myself back to him, if I will be focused on him, my joy will be full. That's verse 11. What other results do we see?
Love.
Okay. So love, like verse 17, you will love each other. That's a result. And what did you say, Chiquita? No longer just his servants, we are his friends. I am a friend of God. Boy, I get some good vibrations just thinking about that. What? The Son of the living God? Come on, sometimes I think people pay more attention to rolling and digesting marijuana than we do the scriptures. Come on, just savor that for a moment. I mean, like, we don't even eat slow anymore. Let's just eat. When you get an expensive meal, someone's just going to say, buy whatever you want on the menu. Are you going to eat that as fast as you do a Happy Meal? We got a neighbor who buys a Happy Meal for her dog. That's just wrong. No, if you're going to have a meal that's like that, you want to eat it slow.
Enjoy it.
Right. Enjoy it. Whether it's vegan or all meat. So let's eat this slow. I'm not a slave of God. I'm a friend of God. Now, I get discarding touchy-feely Christianity that's just all about the emotions and doesn't have results. I understand that. I've felt that way. But we need to go back to the words of Jesus too. He's saying that if we will remain in Him, everyone see the verse? Right? 13, 14, 15. We are friends of Jesus. You've got a BFF on the main line. You've got somebody you can talk to all the time. Right? Wow. Wow. What are the results? Yes. Chosen for a purpose. And on purpose, with a purpose in mind, with a design. Your life is not a waste. Your life is not to be wandered around.
Yeah, with the cancer, he gave you cancer. God knew, only God knows the reason, but yet there's some higher power looking over me. I'm still here and I had it three times.
Yeah, God's got a purpose, even in cancer, right? Even in suffering.
Yeah. I had the first time, but yet I've survived it three times. Plus multiple infections and everything.
Yeah. Three times.
Twice, once in the knee, twice in the lungs.
God's got a purpose.
Right.
Even how we suffer matters. You know that we don't just reflect Jesus when we're at our best? When we're at the top of life? Dressed up, looking our best, smelling our best, acting our best. We can reflect Jesus even when we're at our worst. There is purpose. Paul writes about something he was dealing with physically and says, I asked God to remove it, and He didn't. And yet there is a purpose. Now, what other results do we see here? I think we've covered them. Anyone have another one? We will remain. That's a benefit, a result in and of itself, right? Because if we're remaining in Him, you cannot separate His love from Him, right? Okay, so I know this is a little bit unusual format for us, but how do we do this? You're used to me talking to you, so you talk to me. How do we do this? How do you stay in Him? We have to choose, pray, right, which is both talking and listening. So I have to make a choice, moment by moment, day by day. I have to set aside time, speak to God, and listen to God, right? Daniel, did you have another one? Right. Keep at it. Mm-hmm.
Not so much I have to try harder to abide. Mm. Just do it.
That's good. Right. And that, and in that, it's also, and not giving up. Right? Without ceasing. Yeah. That's really good. So it's not that you try harder to be in God. It's that you keep being in God. And that keeping, that keeping on, that's has results. That's good. So make an active decision. Talk to Him. Listen to Him. Don't give up. Stay in Him. Some practical how-to. How does that look? What does that mean that you do today or tomorrow? Okay, be accountable to somebody else. So what that means is you get someone like a running partner. If you're anything like me, if there's not a game being played, I don't want to run unless there's someone else with me. I don't like that. So I have to put podcast in my ears to make me think someone else is running with me, right? I got to trick myself. So you have a relationship with someone else that asks you and you ask them, and someone who believes in you, right? Someone who's going to encourage you, not be a drain, not be a drag, not lord over you, not try to control you. Anyone? Right? Okay. So I have a relationship with someone else. Femi? Yes, constantly trusting and believing. That's so good. It goes back to the example with the kids. If we believe that He will forgive us, we don't let doubt get in, we don't let questions get in, we don't let other thoughts, other emotions get in, but if we believe, if we trust in Him, He will forgive, He will have love, He will be constantly available to us, then it's easier for us to turn back. That's good. How about some nuts and bolts, some real practical... Right, give up some things that are distracting us. Yeah, that's good. Okay, both prayer. That's good. Right.
So a while ago, I was looking through my journal, and I saw that a lot of the things that I put into my personal journal are like work-related things. I mean, I think that speaks very loudly towards, you know, where my mind's focused on this time. And so I look at my tasks, and I was either, most of them were work-related tasks or, you know, pretty selfish me-centered tasks.
Right.
God on our task list, but seriously, like, think of your personal life and
right.
How many times you actually carve out that space for God, or you make it intentional that you want to have that space for God, and, you know, find the time to put God in your journal and put God in your thoughts.
Yeah. Scheduling it.
Now it's really important to me to, like, make sure I have, you know, God on my task list, and to make sure that there are things on my task list that are more people-centered as well, because I can be sharing.
That's really good. So, and that's Naya's way of making sure it's going to happen, right? So I write it down. It's something that I'm carving out time for. I think if you want to know what you really care about, get a true accountability for how you spend every hour and every dollar. And then you'll know. It's real obvious, real quick. It's going to get real, right? Okay, so those are some good suggestions for how to. Now, we've been talking lately about how under every action or every behavior, there are beliefs, right? No matter what you do, whether it's good, whether it's sin, no matter what you do, under every action or behavior, there are beliefs. So let's list out from Jesus' words, remain in me, stay in me. If I'm going to take next steps in this, what are things that I believe? So let's start with this, really simple. Jesus is what? What do you believe Jesus is? Quick, let's do some one words. Fire them at me. Jesus
Father.
Is what?
Father.
Love. Okay, Father God. Great.
Constant.
Our source.
Faithful.
What's that? Gentle, yes. Caring, yes.
Witty.
He is witty. Yeah. Clean. Yeah, absolutely. Forgiving, He's our sacrifice. Savior, right? So these are things that we believe. So if you're taking notes, you're going to sit down today and you're going to take action and do something to help you stay in Him. It's helpful to write out, what do I believe? Okay? What do I believe? It's in the Bible. No, what do I believe? Write it down. Jesus is, right? Now, here's the next one. The life of Jesus means what to me? Everything. Let's get some phrases here with this one. The life of Jesus means, how about that God cares for me? Life of Jesus means happiness. The life of Jesus. Let's focus on Jesus' 33 years on earth, right? His time walking the dirt with us. Jesus' life on earth to me means what?
Happiness.
Right. He understands me.
My example of how to approach the Father.
He was water baptized. He studied the Scripture. He prayed. He listened. He was honest in how he related to the Father. What about the death of Jesus? The death of Jesus on earth means what to me? What do you believe? He sacrificed for me. For what reason? To save us, that I could have eternal life and forgiveness of sins.
So that I can be free.
Right. I don't think we talk enough about a functional understanding of what does this forgiveness of sins really mean. And I'm glad that Sarah said that and that Lisa pointed her out. Because it's in the Bible and it's a really important understanding for us to write down, what do I believe? It means that I am no longer compelled to sin. I have a choice. And I think it's easy for us to, within our own brain or within the people that we keep around us or the enemy, whatever, voices that we listen to forget that and to not believe that, but to believe that we are compelled to sin. Guess what? When you're approached with that situation, the next time, you don't have to sin. I'm free. That's really good. And here's some others you can write down later today for the sake of time. The resurrection of Jesus means what to me? God's love for me means what for me? God's love for me is what to me? Ask yourself these questions. Write these things down. Now, if I really believe those things, and I do hope, I know, homework in the summer? Is he crazy? I hope that you sit down and give time to these things because I think it's a good way to remain in him. You're not better or, you know, a better person, a worse person, whatever. But if I'm going to remain in him, I'm going to make an active decision to turn myself back to him. What do I believe about him? Then how should I respond? What behavior comes from those things? Give yourself some time and consider. Don't tell your neighbor how they should be living. Sit down, pen and paper, Bible, worship music, something. Let the Lord speak to you. Is he your Lord? Let the Lord speak to you. So if that is what I believe, that God really loves me, what behavior should come out of that? You might be surprised at some of the things that you write down. Like, be happy. Like, get over it. Whatever that it is that you're having a hard time getting over. Like, choose to be happy. Get outdoors more or less. Or exercise more or less. Or what? You might be surprised what actions, what practical, easy things you can do that will spring from the belief. Right? Now, I want to close with another scripture. But I want to finish with giving you, from me, a few to-do list things. Is that okay? Some suggestions. Make time. I hate that one. We all have 24 hours in a day. President Obama and you. Guess what? We are not more important than each other. Right? You're God's child. Make time to be with him. Make time. Turn back to him. A simple turning back. Not a guilt trip. Not a condemnation. Oh, God, there I go again. I'm sorry. Here I come. Here I come again. I'm turning back to you. Believing, trusting that he loves you, that he's there ready to forgive and to take you back in. Read. I really encourage you. I know it's easy to read the Bible, the internet and blogs and Christian books and other things. And trust me, I got 27 boxes of books. I like books. But read the Bible.
Yeah.
Read the Bible and ask yourself what God thinks about you. And then read some Christian stuff too. But read and let your reading inform you about what God really thinks about you. Let it help you stay in. We can't even read a whole 140 characters anymore. Somebody tweeted at me recently, do you think Shakespeare would have liked, because I know at Once Upon a Time I got paid for acting, do you think Shakespeare would have liked Twitter? I said, no, he wouldn't have even been aware of it. He'd been too busy working and having face-to-face relationships. My little joke. He would have been aware. He probably would have used it commercially. But read. Read. Make time. Turn back to him. Talk to him. Listen to him. Read. Reflect. If you sit down today and you write out some of your beliefs about Jesus and God and his love and so on, stop and look at what you wrote and reflect on what does that mean? What does that really mean to me? And then maybe you need to take a big fat Sharpie and just draw it on your mirror so every morning you see what you reflected on from what you wrote about God's love for you. Right? Maybe Post-its are better than a Sharpie. I don't know. Memorize. Oh, there's another one we don't do anymore. Memorize. What I find helpful are to memorize the scriptures that help me when I don't know what to pray. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Right? Memorize. Those words, when you pray them, will be life to you. You will experience a lift you will not experience otherwise. Yeah. Memorize. Celebrate. Celebrate. Tell somebody what God's done. I love the way Chiquetta shared her story today. Look, this is the way I used to be, and look at how I am now. We need a little bit of that good, healthy Jesus pride. Padal! How you like me now? Look at that! I didn't do that anymore. Right? We need some of that. Celebrate it. Get over yourself. Come on. Lighten up. Have some joy. Tell someone, right? Tell someone about what God's done in you. Celebrate it. Reconnect with Him. Constantly turn back to Him. Recite those things. And that's a part of where we have the connect, grow, share. Now, I would like to turn to the right, if we could, to close this series with... actually, I'm going to come back and quote the end of that passage we were just in. But Hebrews, if you turn to the right, it's page 987 for me. You turn to the right. If you hit 1st, 2nd Peter or Revelations, you've gone too far. We're not going to talk about the dragon. Hebrews chapter 12. Isn't this good stuff? Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, I'm going to start with verses 1 through 2, reading from the New Living. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Who does that? Now stop trying to do it yourself. Jesus does it. Who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting Him, He endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now He is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Verse 14. Work at living in peace with everyone. And work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. Jesus says, I'm going to show you on the screen here. You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command. Love each other. I would hope that you would take the time to go back to those passages in Hebrews this week and meditate on that and what it means. We have a choice. Moment by moment, day by day, we have a choice. And what we believe really matters. Do I believe that God is there ready for me, forgiving me, loving me, caring for me? Do I trust Him? Do I believe? Do I believe that if I just really simply, without condemnation or 30 minutes of drama, but just turn back to Him instantly and say, God, there I go again. Here I am in Your presence. I love You, God. That those saints that have gone on before us, those people that used to live on earth and that are with Him now, that are cheering us on, see that and cheer it on, right? And that when we make an active decision to stay pure in our relationships to each other, to not let a root of bitterness develop between each other, but we love each other, the way that Jesus talks here, uses that agape word that we've been talking about, that life is better. Think about that. Think about what your life can be like with making this really simple decision. What life is like with one, two, or three people in your life that care about you this way. It's possible. Your better life now? It's possible. And it's actually simple. Will you stand with me? We'll close in prayer this morning. To be honest with you, we probably could be in this series all year. Big subjects. We've talked about your relationships with coworkers, with parents, with kids, with neighbors. We could talk more about a relationship with our city and the kingdom of our God. We've talked a lot about our relationship with God, with receiving His forgiveness and salvation. But at the end of the day, it is very, very simple, right? It is. It's really simple. So let's close in prayer. We'll ask God to help us to make time and to be constantly turning back to Him to receive His love. God, I thank You for who You are. I thank You for all that You've done. Lord, I ask for You, please, to help us to understand the words we've read today, the words You spoke, Lord Jesus, in John 15 and in Hebrews, the words that were written in Hebrews about our life experience. Lord, I pray that You would help us to love You with all and to love each other with the same kind of love that You've loved us. Lord, because we know that when we do that, our life is better, our home is better, our neighborhood, this city is better, work is better, and school is better. Lord, when we take this very simple step and that we can see miracles, we can see things happen in this city and in our lives that are not otherwise possible. I thank You that You are alive, that You are real, and that miracles are possible with You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being here today. We love you, care about you. There's something to eat and drink. We want you to get a chance to have that. If you would like prayer, of course, we're always happy to pray for you. Feel free to come forward for prayer. But God bless you. Have a great day. Tell someone that they look good and you're ready to have a good day. Chris, can you turn the iPod on? Hey. Sure.